everybody. Welcome to Inside Geocaching HQ, the podcast from Geocaching HQ in Seattle. I am Chris Ronan, aka Rock Chalk, one of the staff here at HQ. On this episode, we hear from Mark Anderson, whose geocaching username is Mark Stafari. Mark is a longtime HQ staffer who works at the Shop Geocaching Warehouse here in Seattle. It is just a couple miles away from the main Geocaching HQ office. If you have ever ordered something from Shop Geocaching, then Mark and or his colleagues were the ones who got it ready and sent it your way. He also had a hand in creating one of the products that has been especially popular over the past couple of years. We will have more on that in just a few minutes. So here is me and Mark talking about how things work at Shop Geocaching. Well, I remember the first time that I visited the warehouse and being a geocacher, it was kind of like Charlie Bucket going into the chocolate factory on Willy Wonka's, you know what I mean? They better check my pockets before I leave because might just walk off with a few things. I mean, I know it's mostly HQ people going in there, do you ever just have a random cacher that walks through and it must just be amazing for them?
You're not the only one to have that reaction. Definitely, we have a little bit of signage that kind of gives us away. And we also have a cache at our location if you're in the area. But, you know, for the most part, it's just like we can tell, you know, a lot. Oftentimes they're searching for the cache right outside our door, which, you know, we can see their shadow. So we can maybe prepare for them to come in. You know, if it's nice in the summer, we often, almost all daily, have our big bay door open. So of course, that welcomes a lot of people to just kind of peek in. And in summer is, you know, we're right off the boat, the tour boats down on the waterfront. So we get quite a few visitors in the summer, believe it or not, for not really advertising where our warehouse is. Most of the time, respectful that we don't have a ton of time. That's the part that sometimes talk.
It's not a visitor situation like here at HQ.
Exactly. Right, right. Yeah. I mean, we try to accommodate for sure. You know, ironically, as most of the caching world is kind of going into hibernation pretty soon, this is our time to shine down at the shop. I mean, certainly the best team I've ever worked on in 20 plus years of shipping and receiving at various places. So yeah, it's just super unique situation, and it's a fun environment. There's a couple of us are practical jokers down there a little bit, you know, keeping it loose, but you know, because it is a warehouse, you know, I mean, it's not the most glamorous work, but we make it a fun environment.
When somebody orders something from Shop Geocaching, It doesn't go into a monster place somewhere with hundreds of people that are filling orders. Right. There are five of you at the HQ warehouse, correct?
Yeah, we're a small operation. Just five of us. So that can be lost in the mix sometimes. But again, our volume is at a place right now where we can, you know, comfortably accommodate every order within 24 or placed within the last 24 hours. You know, we'll ship the next day. We have like up until noon every day. We'll ship every order placed before that. So it's as real time as we can get it. But yeah, we are not quite the scale of Amazon yet. So yeah, I mean, hopefully some people respect that in the fact of, you know, there can be unexpected delays here and there. And I'm primarily work with distributor orders and stuff like that. And I've built a really good relationship with them, with many of them over the years.
And for people that don't know what a distributor is, we're talking about people the world who are reselling geocaching stuff, right?
Correct.
So,
yeah.
So if somebody has a shop in Washington State or in Germany, these are the distributors.
Yeah, there's a few requirements you need to meet. You know, I mean, I think there's a lot of operations out of basements and such, but there are a few larger ones, particularly in Europe, where I think it is the sole business. And there's some decent size orders that go along that head over there.
One thing I've had people ask me is, how do you guys decide what to offer on Shop Geocaching? There are some things that seem pretty obvious as far like, you know, cache containers and stuff like that, but there's a lot of creativity too that I've noticed. You and I were talking before we started recording about the devious containers and stuff like that. And so are these things that you guys at times come up with, or is it stuff that you hear about? What's the mix of that in determining what ends up actually being on the site available for sale?
It's a little of both, I'd say. We definitely get a lot of those ideas from, I think currently we get several of those, we source those from other distributors. So we kind of, you know, if other distributors have great products they're selling, we definitely like to be a part of that as well. So things like fake pine cones and fake rocks. Actually, fake rocks, I think we've been able to source here, but another recent one that's been pretty popular is insects attached to nanos. That was, you know, that's just sort of a fun, like, my favorite is the spider, and I'm actually finalizing one of my own that I'm going to put out in the wild that,
cool.
Just another kind of cool point, you know, maybe another favorite point type angle, you know, it's... The container itself won't be exciting, but the reveal will be the sort of moment. You know, I personally have only hidden a couple of them, but that's my goal in this upcoming year, is to put some creative ones, you know, kind of out in my neighborhood, because there's certainly not many creative ones. And I know that quality caches are a big thing, and especially in keeping the game healthy, you know, and getting more and more people introduced to it. You want to find a quality cache on that first one. I mean, I've introduced it to people where it hasn't been, and they'll never cache again, you know, if they find a wet, soggy, yeah, I don't know, or just, you know, your basic container. There is the thrill of the find, but if you can add another little element of like, oh, another cool one is like fake chewing gum, you know, like a chewed up piece of gum that's stuck to a nano. Those are the ones that I like the most, even though, you know, you can't really stash much stuff in there as far as tradables. The kids probably don't like them as much, but those are my personal favorites. And again, it's we have a lot of freedom to source and try things like that. There's not a strict, we're going to work on this type of container, this or this. If somebody finds something or hears about something, we can usually run with it if it's a, you know, it's not too expensive or within reason, I guess.
One of the things that I think is really cool about what you guys do is trying to make sure that the products that are offered are, they have great utility to them. So we were talking, for instance, before about the tree hugger product.
Yeah.
Maybe talk about that a little bit for people that aren't familiar with it. It's a really cool idea. And it's a great way to kind of solve this problem that's out there, that people want to hide caches on trees, for instance, and unfortunately sometimes they nail it or they drill it, which you're not supposed to do. That's not in line with the guidelines. And now we've got this product that enables you to avoid that kind of a
exactly.
thing and hide caches in the right way with this tree hugger.
Yeah. So my manager, I think it was about a year ago, he tracked down a source that basically had this surgical tubing that attached to, with a bracket attached around a tree. And it's not a way out there idea, but you know, you can, obviously the surgical tubing will expand as the tree grows. And so that made perfect sense for, you know, attaching a cache, and that was not the intended purpose of this product out there. It's like a livestock fence company or something like that. So they were...
It's kind of funny how many things are created and geocachers find a way to repurpose them for caching. Man. And yeah. Definitely their intended effect is not.
They were so excited, though, I think, and continually trying to improve their, you know, packaging and appearance and super cool things like that, where we can promote best practice of geocaching, you know, the rules within the game that are not always obvious, and maybe newer hiders, you know, again, may nail or screw something to a tree or something that's a big no-no, things like that, or, you know, not clearly marking your cache containers as a geocache, etc. We try to provide all those tools, or as many as we can, as many as we can source, and we're continually working on ways to promote the best practice for geocaching and really just help improve, especially first cacher experiences. I certainly can empathize with the first cachers when I first, even joined the company. I just was so confusing to me early on. And we're talking, this was in like 2008, 2009. And yeah, it was tough for me. And even when I, went out with a couple people, and it took a while for me to really grasp it and sort of enjoy it for what it is. And I think now, having, 10 years of experience with it and the products, it's like kind of view things differently, and you view products in different ways, and you there's a lot of things that could be related to either trackable or containers.
One of the things that you talked about was how you and your colleagues at the shop have the freedom to try to pursue an idea. And one thing that folks will know you for, whether they realize it or not, because you're involved in this very popular product, which are the buildable toy sets.
Yeah.
And you were involved with that from the inception.
Yeah. In sort of a roundabout way. Yeah. We did find a first vendor that we kind of tinkered with a trackable 2-inch figure that did really well, but the vendor wasn't, it was sort of a secondary hobby for them. So our current vendor is just amazing with what she can do with any of these parts. She basically repurposes these official parts, cleans and redesigns them essentially, and she can print over these actual parts, and which is allowed. And we of course follow all legal guidelines as far as that's concerned. We've been through that a little bit, and it's turned into a nice little selection of a spread of build your own cache containers, a couple of different figures now, a male and a female figure that come with a trackable element, and we have a kitty and a dog now that attach to those buildable parts. And the small things always are a good thing, and you can attach them to any of these buildable brick parts that you may have at home, your own creations, make anything trackable. That's been popular. And then the one that started it all was, as far as more of a set, and really the only one that I designed from the beginning, was the build your own ammo can container.
With the little nano that went inside of it.
Yeah. And so that was sort of our first experiment with an actual buildable, use instruction, follow the instructions. And the final result is a container that vaguely resembles an ammo can, with a latch down and everything. And so, I got to kind of come up with a prototype with my kids. I sort of came up with the design, but they have better eyes than me as far as finding all the parts. And so I was digging through the big random box at home, and I think it took like 2 or 3 days before I came up with a pretty cool design that locked, and presented it to just the coworkers at our sort of weekly merchandise meeting that we have. And they all dug it, and it was like, all right, let's get it rolling. And I didn't know how that, sourcing product, sourcing parts, all the same parts for selling the same set, and I didn't think it was possible. But this vendor is just amazing in her sourcing, and she can make it all happen. So it really, the finished product looks like it's straight out of a factory. It's really impressive. And even all the way down to the backer art, like the card, just the packaging, is all custom done by her, and really a nice touch on top of sort of the cool novelty item that these buildable toy sets have turned into, and an ongoing series that is certainly fun to, I sort of spearhead the projects, although I don't design them really anymore at this point. Our vendor is super creative, and she kind of knows our themes, and she'll either throw ideas at us or we will do the same, and she'll come up with something. It's pretty amazing to see her work, or see the finished product.
I'll let you get a drink there.
They don't usually let us talk this much over at the warehouse.
You're getting it all out. You're going to get it all out today.
That was my little, ba-dum-bum chain.
That was pretty good. Is there a most popular product that shop? Does it vary?
Oh, golly. Definitely, I think trackables.
Just trackables in general.
Trackables in general continue to, the old travel bug still continues to be probably the biggest selling trackable. And it's trying to keep up with, just certain events around the year. And, like Pi Day was really huge. An outside vendor did a coin for that was just hugely popular a couple of years ago. And we had no idea. It's those trackable coin moments that we definitely keep an eye out on.
Well, I could sit here and talk about products for geocaching products for hours and hours. We're going to have to do like a part two and a part three. And we'll bring Marty and Phil and Gary and Dylan. We'll bring everybody from the shop and we'll just do a big round table.
This talk is a little too hot for most ears.
No, I think it's awesome. God, it's music to my ears. I love talking about it, but thank you. And we'll chat again sometime.
Oh yeah, Chris, it was a blast.
That was Mark Anderson, a.k.a. Mark Stefari from Shop Geocaching. Interesting talk. I hope you enjoyed it. So here's my next question. What would you like to hear us talk about on Inside Geocaching HQ? You can email us. podcast@geocaching.com is the address. That is podcast@geocaching.com. Tell us what sounds interesting, and we'll see if we can work it into an upcoming episode. Thanks again to Mark for his time. Thanks to you for listening. Until next time, from all of us at Geocaching HQ, happy caching.